The trade war, already wholesale, is going more retail. I'm David Brancaccio in New York, saying trade talks with China are not progressing. The Trump administration has now triggered a new round of import penalties on Chinese goods. China says it will retaliate simultaneously, but the official tone in China so far, interestingly, has been measured. We'll look at this from the U.S. and China here, starting with Marketplace's Erica Barris here in New York. Washington's latest tariff round is on what, Erica?
On the U.S. side, it's a new 10% tariff on $200 billion worth of goods from China. Unlike what we've seen from the two previous rounds of tariffs this year, these will directly hit American shoppers. Most of us aren't buying slabs of steel and rolls of aluminum, but we are buying their nearly 6,000 items on the list, things like handbags, rice, and toilet paper. Some items that had initially been on the tariff list, like smartwatches, bike helmets, and high chairs, got spared following opposition from U.S. companies.
Marketplace's Jennifer Peck in Shanghai. How has the Chinese government responded today to the tariffs being triggered?
Well, China's Ministry of Commerce says the U.S. decision is, quote, deeply regrettable. It says these new tariffs bring uncertainties to the negotiations between the two sides and that China will be forced to take countermeasures simultaneously with the new U.S. tariffs.
And what are you seeing in the Chinese media? What are consumers and businesses there hearing about this trade war?
Not much, aside from government statements. In fact, the news didn't make it on the front pages of major state-run media websites until the afternoon. Now, there could be a few reasons for this. Perhaps to give face to the U.S., China continues to say it is open to negotiations, or China's leaders may be avoiding public criticism. Or it could be that China's leadership hasn't agreed on a course of action. So by keeping discussions internal, the government can switch course anytime.
Erica, next steps?
The tariffs go into effect next Monday. And remember, those will be 10% tariffs. But starting in January, that's going to rise to 25%. And there are threats of more to come. Trump has said he will add tariffs on another $267 billion worth of Chinese goods if China retaliates, which, as Jennifer just said, China's already committing to. If President Trump follows through, that would mean just about everything China exports to the U.S. would be subject to a tariff.
All right, my Marketplace colleagues, Erica Barris in New York, Jennifer Pack in Shanghai. Thank you.
Thanks.
You bet.
Checking the market screens, the 100 share index in London is up 0.1%. Dow and S&P futures are up 0.2%. Crude oil in New York is up 1.1% amid promises of lower output by oil-producing countries. Now, you can buy rope made from hemp, which is the cannabis plant. Soon, might we also be able to pick up a drink infused with CBD, a non-psychoactive chemical in marijuana? Coca-Cola has declined to confirm a Bloomberg News report that Coke might have been talking with a Canadian cannabis company about CBD, which could, in theory, be used to make a drink that might ease pain, inflammation, or other ills. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
It's not surprising Coca-Cola is looking to develop new drinks to juice up profits, says Brett Cooper at Consumer Edge Research. Soft drink consumption has stalled out worldwide.
We have a consumer that is more demanding of what they're getting out of food or beverages. Obviously, getting into cannabis is a significant step away from adding vitamins.
He says it could be risky, damaging a company's reputation. Right now, CBD is in a legal gray zone, while marijuana is still illegal at the federal level. Peter Laurie at the Center for Science in the Public Interest says more research is needed to determine if CBDs are safe and effective, and marketers will need to be careful.
If you make a drug claim, you can expect to have the FDA knocking at your door.
In a statement, Coca-Cola says it has no interest in marijuana or cannabis. But it is, quote, closely watching the growth of non-psychoactive CBD as an ingredient in functional wellness beverages. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Every day you make decisions about your own personal economy, including choices that aren't obviously about money. That's why Marketplace covers business and finance from so many different angles, connecting the dots between complex issues and why they matter to you. Invest in Marketplace today to make sure public service journalism is always here to deliver reliable, objective news and context about the economic forces that affect you every day. Donate whatever amount is right for you at marketplace.org. And thank you. This time, 10 years ago, the financial system was rattling apart as the worst financial crisis in generations unfolded after the collapse of Lehman Brothers. Here's former Senator Chris Dodd, who was then chair of the Senate Banking Committee during that mess.
5 million homes went into foreclosure. $13 trillion in national wealth evaporated. 27 million people lost their jobs. Iconic institutions, investment banks, commercial banks, credit unions, savings and loan disappeared or were nationalized or merged. It was an incredible set of issues that came to me. And people, even today, you have to remind them of that.
After the immediate fires were put out, Congress set about rebuilding the financial system. That became the Dodd-Frank Financial Reform Law. Later this week on the Marketplace Morning Report here, I will talk with Dodd and Frank, former Congressman Barney Frank.
The best witness for how successful we were with financial reform is Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump brags all the time about how wonderfully the economy is performing. This is a terrific economy. This is such a great economy. Well, one of the essential pieces of a well-functioning economy is its financial system. And it simply would be impossible logically for the economy to be doing wonderfully if we had crippled the financial system. It cannot be that we are doing so well in terms of how the economy is functioning, but the banking system was broken. And in fact, what we have is a financial system that is working very well to do what it's supposed to do, which is to provide the money that is needed for productive activity, but has substantially diminished the chances of the kind of crisis we had before.
Has the president thanked you for all your hard work on this that allowed his
success?
I don't
know. I don't read his tweets as regularly as I should, so maybe there's one in there.
Teachable moments from my conversation with Dodd and Frank later this week on the Marketplace Morning Report. At Marketplace.org, starting tomorrow, that conversation in depth and a lot of other tools to help you explore how this country tried to make its financial system safer after that fiasco 10 years ago. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.